Learn the Gemara a little bit on Sedekim. At Aleph, the Gemara has a whole agarata about because of the fact that David HaMelech was responsible for the death of Novir HaKonim. It wasn't his fault, he wasn't responsible, but it was because he was running away from Shaul and he hid there in Novir HaKonim. They took care of him and he said he was starving and he was chalashing, so they gave him the Lachem HaKonim to eat. And then when Shaul found out about it, learn the Gemara a little bit on Sedekim. At Aleph, the Gemara has a whole agarata about because of the fact that David HaMelech was responsible for the death of Novir HaKonim. It wasn't his fault, he wasn't responsible, but it was because he was running away from Shaul and he hid there in Novir HaKonim. They took care of him and he said he was starving and he was chalashing, so they gave him the Lachem HaKonim to eat. And then when Shaul found out about it, so he got so angry, he wiped out the whole city. So David HaMelech deserved an oinish for that. Because since the others were nanish al yodoy, so he was going to be nanish. So the Baruch Shalom gave him an option: do you want to sell for yourself, or do you want your children to be wiped out? So first he chose he would rather sell for himself. No one wants the children to suffer. And then the Gemara has a whole agarta that Goliath's brother somehow succeeded in throwing. He found David and he threw him up in the air. He was going to kill him, and then. Avisha ben Tsruya came and he saved them and he was misfalo. So he got, somehow Avisha ben Tsruya said Hashem and he succeeded in getting David that on the ground and he saved them. And then he told him the Chachma, be misfalo to Ribbono Shel Olam that you change your mind. Instead of you suffering because he couldn't take it anymore, so be misfalo takev that your children should die out. So he changed his tefillin. That's how the Gemara says, that's Bashad, Vayazala Avisha ben Tsruya and Shmuel Beis. What did he help him? He told him how to daven, change the tefillah. So the Gemara is bothered with Akasha when David was up in the air, suspended him in air, and Goliath's brother was going to kill him. So why did he have to wait for Avisha ben Tsruya to be mispal? Should have been mispal on it. David HaMelech should have been mispal on his own. To Ribbono Shel Olam, get me down and save me. So the Gemara has the expression, no, because ein chavish motzi atzma beis asur. What does that expression mean? Ein chavish mater atzma beis asur, ein chavish motzi atzma. So Rashi writes over here, ein chavish. Dibra maschal ein chavish, the middle of the second column. On Sadekem and Aleph, Dibra maschal ein chavish, ein daito mechuvenes loima Hashem. Since he was so aggravated, suspended in midair, so he, in order to get down to the ground, he has to say some kind of a shame Hashem. So ein daito mechuvenes, he was so aggravated he couldn't be mechaven properly. So, and Avisha ben Tsruya was not suspended in midair, so he was able to be mechaven. So in the Sefer Be'er Sheva, he has a taina against Rashi, a frekta kasha, because the Gemara in Brachas has the same expression. It says on the side of the Gemara, Brachas daf hei menal. So in Brachas, the Gemara tells one of the Amoraim was sick and dying, and another Amor came and he visited him, and Yayv la Yodah, he gave him his hand, and he was mispalel, and he got better. So the Gemara faked Akasha, but the one who was the Chayla Mesukin, the one who was about to die, he was also a Bal Kabbalah. And he used to do this stunt with others, Yayv la Yodah, Vispach. He used to go visit sick people, he used to shake their hand, and they would get better. So why did he need the other Amor to visit him, to give him a refuah? Why didn't he succeed in being merapi himself? The Gemara says, no, in chavish mater atzman beis asur. So the Be'er Sheva asks if the Pshat is like Rashi says, because ain't daita mechuvenes to say the Shem. So what's the problem of saying a Shem over there? He just has to be misspelled. The person who is a chayla is going to daven better than the other one who's not a chayla. He's the one who's suffering. Here, David HaMelech is going to be misspelled harder than Avisha ben Tsruya. But David HaMelech is fatumult over here, because he's suspended in air, so he can say ain't daita mechuvenes to say a Shem. But over there in the Gemara Brachas, what does it have to do with saying a Shem? That's why the Be'er Sheva thinks that you should learn Pshat not like the Rashi over here. It just says, no, it's Reya Mazlai. The one is Chavish Bebeis Asurim. There's a Gzeiras Din against him. Otherwise he wouldn't be Chavish Bebeis Asurim. His Tfilos are not, is accepted as other people against whom there is no midas adin mesucha. That's how the Be'er Sheva says. Others I saw in the Sefer Ben Yehoyada by the Ben Ishchai, has an early agaritas, he wants to be miyashiv, he quotes something from the Arizal, al pi kabbalah, that in the Gemara Brachas, it's also pshat like that, how did he do this stunt? That the Amoraim had the ability to go visit sick patients, and they would shake their hands and they would get better. Chayla Mesukana, they were holding by Gesisa, and they would shake their hands and get better. It's also by using some kind of a shem. So the Meila, he says, Rashi's pshat fits in very well in the Gemara Brachas also, according to what the Arizal said, that ability to be yayvi mayodeh, to shake the Chayla's hand and to get him to be better, is only also by use of a shem. So if the Chayla is all fatumul, so he won't be able to be mechavim mishas on the Yiras Hashem. What's an apkamina? What's an apkamina? Whether you learn pshat like Rashi, you learn pshat like the Be'er Sheva. So it's interesting, I seem to remember that Ratzi Pesach Frank writes that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have a meaning that we all do Hataras Nedarim. So usually do Bezeh Hazeh. So usually they like to be Mechabed the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim shouldn't sit and wait a whole day long. So the three Balabatim say they'll offer their rabbi in the Shul Atova, they'll be Mata his Neder first, and then he can leave. And then the Balabatim will be matar each other's Nedarim. So Ratzi Pesach Frank quotes, I forgot whom, there was one of the great Rabbanim in Yerushalayim, always insisted, he wanted to sit through to be matar neder the Balabatim first, and then the Balabatim, whose Nedarim had been removed, should be matar his neder. He didn't want that the Balabatim, who are still bound with Nedarim, should be matar his neder. He himself is bound with Nedarim. He didn't succeed yet in getting rid of his Nedarim. So how is he going to get me out of my Nedar? So Abchina, like the Halpidin, there's no such halacha. But that was the hargosha that some of the Rabbanim had based on this Loshon HaGemara. Of course, when you mata Nedarim, you don't use any Sheamus. So if you say the Pshat Ein Chovesh Matar Atzma like Rashi, the neder that I took, the shvua that I took, a shvua b'shem, even if you took a shvua b'shem, yeah. But when you do the act of hataras nedarim, you don't employ any shemis to accomplish the hataras nedarim. So that whole hargosha that some gedolim had was only still a dakas dika hargosha. That was according to the Be'er Sheva, who's not learning like Rashi. The Be'er Sheva has composed some as a likut, some of it is his own. Be'er Sheva was Morgan Avon quotes in the Be'er Sheva. He was a Talmud of the Sma, I think, Talmud of the Prishin. And he composed, or he was malakeh, Taisvesin, on all of those parokim, on all of those mesichtes, where we don't have any Taisvus. On Chelik, he has a set of Taisvus. On parts of the end of Seita, where we have no Taisvus, he composed Taisvus. On Tomid, on those mesichtes, where we have no Taisvus, he composed, or he was malakeh, Taisvus. Mm-hmm. And I think the Mefarshim say that's the reason why, no? Because in Chavash, Yav Zaka, right? That's a similar idea, right? Similar idea to the way the Be'er Sheva is presenting, yeah. Yeah. Not exactly this. Then the Gemara has the Agarata of the Kvitzas HaDerech. The three different people had Kvitzas HaDerech. So one of them was Yankif Avinu. So the way the Gemara presents it was the top of Tzadikim Beis that Vayetzi Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelech Arona, that somehow, that was not the Kvitzas HaDerech. The Gemara says the Kvitzas HaDerech was Fakert. When he arrived in Choron and he realized what happened, he passed by the Mokom HaMikdash. He's on the third line on the top. Kimota lechoran Omar. Yank Levina says to himself, "Epsher avarti amokim shispala ba'avos manila hispalalti bo." How can it be? So he decided he has to go back. So on the way back, in order to go back to Beis Hamikdash, that was Kvitzas HaDerech. How did he get to Choron so fast? I don't know. Gemara doesn't say that was Kvitzas HaDerech. Gemara says on the way back, all of a sudden that's the Kvitzas HaDerech. So then the Rabbanu Shlom says, "Okay, Yank Levina is there in the Mokom HaMikdash and he's mispalo." Then the Rebbeinu Shlom decides that he would like that Yankov Avinu should stay over. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about the 10th line from the top of Amud Beis, Rebbeinu Shlom said, Tzadik Zebo, the Beis Maloni, the Tzadik comes to my hotel, to my place. Ipata Balo Lino. I'd like to have him sleep over. So miyad bo hashemesh, the sun set earlier than it should have set. And then said, v'yizach lo hashemesh. What does it mean, v'yizach lo hashemesh? That years later, the sun rose early to make up for the fact that on this occasion, the sun set late. The sun set early on this occasion, and later to make good, so the sun set earlier to offset the hours. Yeah. So the expression the Gemara uses, Efsher, Tzadik Zeb Bola Beis Maloni Vipata Baloi Lino, what does it mean Lino? Just the Rebbeinu Shlom desires that Yaakov Avinu should sleep over in the Mokma Migdash. Could be that that's all it means. Lino. The Rebbeinu Shlom would like to be Machnas Orchem. He'd like to have Yaakov Avinu sleep in the Beis Hamikdash. I was just thinking, maybe I didn't see any of the Mefarshim make this comment. There is a din of lina. There is a aloha of lina that whoever brings a korban in the Beis Hamikdash has to have lina. He has to sleep over in Yerushalayim. And when you bring bikurim, so the Gemara says you have to have lina. You have to sleep over in Yerushalayim that time. So maybe that's what it means. Lina is an Indian. When you visit the Beis Hamikdash, it shouldn't be such a brief visit, just in and out. You should dafka sleep over.
And I always learned that the pshat was that usually the bara and the gua could ignite.
That's why the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted the lina. Could be.
It's a more intense nevuah in the Makom HaMikdash than in the Makom
HaKadosh. That could be the pshat. Maybe that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted he should have lina, that he should give him a mara hanevuah and his chalai. That could be the pshat. Then we were discussing the Gemara of Gog and Magog. We're skipping a lot on Tzadik Vav Amen Aleph. On Tzadik Vav Amen Aleph, the Gemara is commenting on last week's Parsha, on Parsha's Lech Lecha. It says when Avram Avinu waged the war against the Avram Melochim won against the five kings. So Avram Avinu went to wage the war in order to save his nephew Lot, who was there in the cities that was conquered. So it says, "Vayicholik aleihem lailahu v'abador v'yakein." So what is the mashmos of the word lailah? So the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So Rabbi Yechanan says that he had Avram Avin had a malach who helped him win the war. How can he win the war? B'derech Hateva, a war against the four kings, beat up the five kings, and Avram Avin with such a small handful of soldiers, he wins the war. So the Gemara says it must be that the malach whose name was Lailah was helping him. How do you know that such a malach whose name is Lailah? The pasuk says in here, "V'halailah Omar Hora Gover." So the Maharsho adds on a little bit over here, and I saw the later Mefarshim will accept this pshat from the Maharsho. They think that that's perhaps the Pasha pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, I think in Sota, the Maharsho quotes that the malach or the Gemara neither, the malach hamemun al haheroyon, his name is Lailah. That's that pasuk in here, "V'halailah Omar Hora Gover." The Malach HaMamun Al HaHirayim. The Gemara says in Nida that before the baby is born, the Malach decides whether he's going to have brown hair or black hair or blonde, what color hair, what color eyes, whether he's going to be tall or short, fat or skinny, rich or poor, Chochm Tipesh, everything physical. Tzadik V'Rosh Olai Koma. The Gemara says the Malach doesn't decide whether he's going to be a Tzadik V'Rosh Hagol B'Dei Shema Chutz Mi Yerushama. People have Chiruch Hafshis to do mitzvahs or to do averis. But the Malach makes this declaration whether Gibor or Cholosh or Chacham or Tipesh or so on. The Gemara picks on those three things because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Ayisaleh Chacham Chachmasov, Ayisaleh Gibor Begvurasov, Ayisaleh Osher Beoshro, Kimizos Yisaleh Misaleh Haskel Beyadar Yosis. So the Pasuk says you shouldn't brag about Gibor Begvurasov because that's Min Aleidah, that was the Malach. Hamamun al Hairain decided it's going to be a Chacham, decided it's going to be a Gibor, decided it's going to be an Osher. So that it's nothing to do with him. It's not because of his Chachma that he figured all of this out. The Malach decided all of that. So that's when the Gemara gives those three Mishol. So the Marsho interprets over here that Nimrod, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Nimrod hu hechel libos Gibor tzayid lefnei Hashem. He apparently, Menaleda was a Gibor. Nimrod was a Gibor. And Nimrod was one of the Avraham Elohim, like Rashi writes on yesterday's parasha, Amraphel, Omar Pool. Amar v'hipil. So Amrafel was Nimrod, and Nimrod was Menaleda, he was a Gibor. So the Gemara was wondering if Nimrod, based on the Pasuk, Hu Hecha Libas Gibor Tzayit, he was a Gibor, Menaleda, so how can it be that Rav Avinu won the war against him? Can I get a teva? So that's what the Gemara says, the Malach HaMamuneh, the Malach who calls all the shots, was beckoned, and he declared, now I'm changing the teva. Instead of Nimrod was, before he was born, I declared Nimrod is going to be a Gibor. So now he's changing. This is the Malach who's in charge of these things. Malach is in charge of Gibor, Chacham and Asher, and so on. Everything but Tzadik V'Rasha. So now that Malach, his name is Lailo, he helped out Avraham Avinu, and he said, no more Gibor. On this occasion, Nimrod is not going to be a Gibor. That's how the Mashua suggests the Pshat in the first opinion, Rabbi Yechanan. And then Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan. Reish Lakish thinks Rabbi Yitzchak, Reish Lakish is a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, but he makes a comment. He thinks Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha's Pshat is better than Rabbi Yechanan's Pshat. The next line in the Gemara. He says, Amar Reish Lakish, Tava de Navcha, Midabar Navcha. He thinks that Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha's Pshat is better than Rabbi Yechanan. Yechanan was known as Bar Navcha. Why was he known as Bar Navcha is the question. Rashi has a whole discussion why. But Rabbi the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shlokish is coming. He thinks Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha's Pshat is better. So what's up, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha? He says, no. B'derech HaTeva Nimrod was Taka Gibor. B'derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense that Avraham Avinu should win a war against him. How is that possible? The Gibor should win the war. But HaKachavim Im Silosim Nilchamu. When it says Ve'echolik Aleim Laila, it was a Maisa Laila, not the Malach whose name is Laila, the Malach HaMamuna Al HaHeroyon. Came and he said, I'm changing the Teva, he's going to be a Gibor, Avram is going to be the Gibor, and Nimrod is going to be the Cholosh. No, despite the fact that Nimrod remained a Gibor, and Avram was a Cholosh, in contrast to Nimrod, Menoshamayim Nilcham Rakechavim Im Siloisam. Just like over there, it was Lamaila Menat Teva. It didn't make sense. It was an S, it was clearly an S. Wait, the Gemara says before, on the first wide line on Sadekim and base, the Gemara says there were millions and millions and millions of soldiers when he was waging that war. That the Muhammad that Avraham Avinu had against the Abba Melochim was like that Muhammad when Sancheirith came to destroy Eretz Yisrael, had on Ashir, he had 185,000 generals. And imagine how many foot soldiers that he had. The Gemara makes a calculation over 2 million. So whichever way you slice it, it was a tremendous ness that Avraham Avinu won the war against the Abba Melochim. So the Gemara had the two versions as to how the ness occurred. Then the Gemara cuts up a strange statement on the white lines. Shalach Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri min Etzivan, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri who lived in Etzivan, sent a message to the other Tanoim. You should be careful about three things. Zor b'zokan sheshachach Talmud amach masonsoi. He sent a message, three things. So here the Be'er Sheva, they have on the side. Be'er Sheva crosses out the Girsa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera. He says, how can it be? Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera was way before the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi ben Misera was Bizman Abayis. The Gemara says in the beginning of Psochem. Right, the Ger, the Nochri, who used to eat Korban Pesach, so he tripped him up. So he was Bizman Abayis, Rabbi Yehuda was after the Churban Abayis, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, they were all after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So what do you mean Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is telling you should follow the Psaka of Rabbi Yehuda? He Zoru Bivreden Ke Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why it has on the margin, on the left side, that the Gira says Be'er Sheva, he changed it instead of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Davshtein Rabbi Shul ben Levi. I don't know, is that such a... Al Shem Osset. It's not that that's what it said in the letter. It said in the letter, follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita by Reb. No, he wrote a letter, and the Gemara writes a Bekitzer. What he wrote was, follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It doesn't necessarily mean that. That's what he wrote. The Gemara is paraphrasing. Yeah. So I don't see. And then the other Achrenim point out that there was more than one Tana. There was more than one person by the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri. Tesis and Psachim points that out. It doesn't necessarily have to be that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri lives Bizman Abayis. Maybe he's a later Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri. It could be two people with the same name. But I think the first comment is, I don't think whenever the Gemara quotes someone as speaking, even in the Chumash when they quote someone as speaking, I think the Rachaim points that out. The quotations in the Chumash are not necessarily verbatim. It's not necessarily that's what Paro Melech Mitzrayim said. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. The Chumash is paraphrasing. The Rabbanu Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu that we should learn out things from the Chumash. He's Baruch Melech Mitzrayim didn't have all the kavanas that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted in the pasuk. So Rabbanu Shalom paraphrased, he rewrote it in such a way, we should be able to derive all kinds of Sisrei Torah and all kinds of halachas from the words of Paro. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what Paro said. And even the Archaim has this on the Zayis HaBracha, when the Chumash records the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to each one of the Shvatim. So I think the Archaim writes like that. The brachas are not necessarily recorded verbatim. The Rabbanu Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu how to record the brachas and the Chumash, but it's not necessarily a direct quotation from what he said. So that's over here also. They quote the letter that Rabbi Yudah ben Beserah sent to the other Chachamim. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's what he wrote in the letter. Follow the psak of Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah wasn't born yet. Could be Rabbi Yudah was way later. He wrote a letter that says the same as Rabbi Yudah is going to say later. So the Gemara, to make it easier, says, follow Rabbi Yudah Shidia. What are the three things that he said? So the first thing that he said is that we have an obligation to be mechabit, that's in brachas also, we have an obligation to be mechabit talmid chachamim because of the fact that they learned Torah. But what if you have a talmid chacham who's senile and he forgot everything that he learned? So there's no more Torah, so you shouldn't be obligated to be mechabit. So that's what the Gemara says in brachas. No, the luchas, the shivrei luchas amunachim bar. The shivrei luchas had nothing in them. Shivrei luchas were broken into tiny little pieces. So there's no ksav over there. So that's like the talmid chacham sheshachach talmudoi. And still you have to treat the shivrei luchas with respect. So that's the first thing he said. You have to be mechabit a talmid chacham. If he shochach talmuda shaloi machmasonsoi, it's not that he's old and feeble and senile. He just decided to go into another field. He used to learn when he was in yeshiva. Then he went into business. Then he watches television all day long. So fashteitzuk, he forgot everything that he learned. He goes to the movies and he watches television. No, that's so. Then you're not mechuyif to be mechabedim. He erased all of the divrei Torah. He erased everything. But if shochach talmuda machmasonsoi, he's old and sick and feeble. And what can you do? So then it's a pchina of shivrei luchas. So that's takedin. You have to be mechabed et talmid chacham, even shochach talmuda. It doesn't mean you have to paskin like it. If he's not in a position to pask mashal, so you don't paskin. You have to give cover. You have to give up cover. Then the second thing he said is a machloikis hatanoim in chulin. When you shecht a noif, when you shecht a noif, so you only shecht the kona or the veisha. When you shecht the beimin, shecht the kona, you cut the kona and the veisha. So there's a problem. When you shecht the beimin, you're not going to broil the whole beimin in one piece. Beimin is a big thing. Even a young beimin is a big thing. But sometimes a chicken, you broil the whole chicken. So leo kulo keechas. You can broil the whole chicken the way it is. So the din is that when you broil flesh, so we only do malicha muetis. You know, there's a machlokes in the Rishonim where they need malicha at all, so we do malicha muetis, do a little bit of malicha. If you're not going to broil it, you're going to cook it, so you do real malicha, you have to rinse off the flesh and do malicha, then you do hadach achrayin, you have to finish doing the malicha, and we assume that the malicha will remove all of the dam or whatever. What I mean, it doesn't really remove all the dam, it'll remove all the dam that's easily removed, and whatever is not removed by salting, we declare as moel habasa, it's the juice of the meat. The same thing, let's say, dami vorm shalo pirish. If you have a piece of raw flesh, and the blood is inside in the capillaries, if you have blood in the arteries is blood that you're not allowed to eat. But if you have blood in the capillaries, so the blood in the capillaries is called dami vorm shalo pirish. It's called moel habasa. So you're permitted to eat the raw meat the way it is. You're even permitted to eat raw liver the way it is. You don't have to do anything. But if you're going to cook the liver, so the dam is going to go out, it's going to go back in. So when it's going to be pirish, then it's going to become masa. So then you have to broil the liver first. So other kinds of flesh, other than liver, so the Gemara says in Chulin, you can either salt it, and we assume the salting will succeed in removing everything that's called dam. Whatever remains behind is called moel habasa, the juice, or you broil the meat. And we require malich moretas because of the machleg zershan. So he, Rabbi Yudah, used to, the Mishnah Chulin quotes Rabbi Yudah Shikha, the Tana Rabbi Yudah, says that you have to cut the vreidin, you have to cut the arteries when you shecht the chicken, because if you're going to be tzaleh, if you take a behemah, you have, so you're not going to broil the whole behemah in one piece. You're going to cut it up into different pieces. Since you're going to be cutting it up, so when you broil it, so the dam will be going out on all the directions, on all the six directions, top and bottom, on the four sides. So there's enough space for the dam to go out when you broil it. But if you're going to broil chicken, see if you cut the chicken up into the little pieces, then you broil it. So there's no problem. But sometimes people will broil the entire chicken tzaleh kuluk achas, and you won't have too many surfaces for the blood to come out. So the blood is going to be trapped inside, and it's not really going to go out. It's like doing malicha or tzliya and a cliche in a menukah that doesn't have the nekovim on the bottom, so the dam should drip out. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda insists in the Mishnah. He's zor b'vrein. You have to cut the big arteries in order to enable all of the dam to flow out. It's not a din in Hilcha Shechita. The Shechita is he cut the corner of the Veshit and the Shechita is finished. It's an issue because of dam. It's a problem because of dam. So they quote Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. He thinks the same also, that there's a problem of dam. And then the third comment he said was that you should always be careful about Bnei Am Ha'aretz Shemehem Teitzetari. You shouldn't think that the Torah will only come from those Talmidim and Yeshivas whose fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers were Talmid HaChomim. Fakir, Torah is not Birusha. The Gemara says in the Dorim. Yeah, the Gemara says in the Dorim that a lot of times the children of Talmid HaChomim themselves are not Talmid HaChomim. A lot of times you have a family, 40 generations Rabbonim, one generation after the other, all the way back, based on Bayesheni. And other times the Gemara says, no, a lot of times Talmid HaChomim, their children themselves are not Talmid HaChomim. And this is min hashamayim. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want people to think that Torah is Yerusha. So they see to it that dafke the Talmid HaChomim's children will not be Talmid HaChomim. And you should be careful treating properly the Bnei Am Haaretz. Many of them will vaksais to become great Talmid HaChomim. The Gemara has later. Yeah. I don't know. The Gemara in Dorm talks about it. The Gemara has two explanations. Why? Why they not? So one suggestion is because a lot of times the Talmid HaChomim are mevazeh the Balabat. So since they mistreat people, so their children turned off a little bit. So it's a psychological explanation. Then the Gemara gives the other explanation that min hashamayim, they want people to see that Torah is not birusha. So that's a good tekash. How can that be? That people have bechirah chofshes. So why? How can it be min hashamayim? They don't allow it that. I don't know. The Gemara talks later about not only yizor b'bnei amei ha'aretz shemehem teitzei Torah. The Gemara has later some of the worst people in the history of the world became gerim, or their descendants became gerim. That's the famous Gemara on the base on the second wide line. Tana Rabbanan on a braisa the Gemara has. This part is in Gittin also. Naman ger toshav hoyo and Nebuzaradan ger tzedek hoyo. Nebuzaradan was the general that Nebuchadnezzar sent to destroy the first base Amigdosh. So in the word Nebuzaradan, the Gemara gives a whole explanation of what happened. Nebuzaradan realized that he better, the Gemara read before that, the last 10 lines right before that. So the Gemara says that Nebuzaradan saw that this Jewish people is something unusual, and that Rabbanu Shlom has a special hakocha, hashgacha min hashamayim, and they're being punished for killing Zechariah Hanavi, Mihard Migdash Hashem Kain Venavi, and he's killing so many people, so he said, wow, I better stop all of this shtick. So the Gemara says he stopped here, Betshuva B'dayte, and he was Nizgayer. That's how the Gemara said right before. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa to that effect, and the Buzaradan was a Ger Tzedekai. The Gemara says the descendants of Sisra, Lomdu Torah B'Yerushalayim, the descendants of Sancheriv, Limdu Torah B'Rabim. They were Malamdim, who are that? So the Gemara says, Shmai B'Avtai. So that's all part of this, that Torah doesn't go B'Yerusha. Sometimes you have children of Amei Ha'aretz, they become big Talmid HaChacham. Sometimes you have children of Rishoyim, of Nochrim, who are big Rishoyim. And they can become big Tzadikim and big Talmid HaChacham. The Gemara says, who is that? That's Shmai B'Avtai. Then the Gemara says, B'Nei B'Anam Shalom, Lomdu Torah B'Nei B'Rakim. The famous Gemara. That's a shaila on this Gemara, and on the base, and it says, Shmai Avtalni were descendants of the Bnei Bonim Shal Sancheriv, they were descendants of Sancheriv. So who was Nizgayer over here? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on Pirkei Avos that Shmai Avtalni were Gerim. Where does he get that they were Gerim? Because the Gemara says in Yuma. The Gemara says in Yesen bnei amamayel lishlom, that they were walking, they used to walk home the kangodol on Yom Kippur after the Seder Avodah was all finished. So there was a whole crowd of people walking them home. And then on the way walking home the kangodol after the Seder Avodah, they see the chief rabbi, Shmaya, I guess. is walking in the streets. Everybody left the Kohen Gadol and they started walking to they started walking home. The chief rabbi Shmai. So the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol gave a bracha, but he said a little with bizoin. It says Yesen the Geirim should go in peace. He referred to Shmai Bavtalian as Yesen B'dam and Ma'al Shlom. So the Rambam understands that they themselves were Geirim. They themselves were Geirim. That's the Maharam in Prague has that taina. How can it be? The Mishnah says in Horius that there's a din of parhal and davashal tzibur. If the Bezna Gordel made a mistake in Psach, let's say they said that mutad, certain things mutad on Shabbos, certain things mutad on Yom Kippur, some kind of an issue with this Koreis, so they were mutad something by mistake, and then Reb HaTzibur violates the Aver based on the Psach of the Bezna Gordel. Instead of requiring each person to bring his own chata, so we say, let the Bezna Gordel bring one parhal and davashal tzibur, and everybody will be yotze. So that din only applies, the Mishnah says, if all the members of the Bezna Gordel were present when they took the vote. They're not always there when they take the vote. Sometimes someone went to a chasana, someone went to a mitzvah, whatever. Someone's in the bathroom. So you have to have all the members of the Bezna Gordel have to be there. And the Gemara says, and all the 71 members of the Bezna Gordel have to be roy to be members of the Bezna Gordel. If one of them was a ger, and that's not, you're not allowed to have a ger as a member of the Bezna Gordel, so the whole vote is doesn't count, and there's no institution of parham devashal tzibur, and each and every person has to bring his own chatas. Everyone who is Mechal Shabbos, who ate on Yom Kippur, whatever, has to bring his own chatas. So you see from the Mishnah that a ger can't be a member of the Bezna Gordel. Forget about becoming the chief rabbi. The Gemara says in Chagiga that all the names that appear in the Pirkei Avos, Shmai Vavtalin Kimihem, it says Yosef Ben Yezer, Yosef Ben Yochan, Yishim Shalim, whenever has two names, so the first one is the Nasi, and the second one is the Abbez. So it says there Shmai Vavtalin, not Stam that they were members of the Bezna Gordel. The first one was the chief rabbi, the next one was the assistant chief rabbi. So that's what the Maharal Prague asks that Kasha against the Rambam in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, and the Tosis Yonta was the Talmud of the Maharal Prague. Tosis Yonta took over his Rabbonis in Prague after the Maharal passed away. So yes, how can it be? How can it be what the Rambam says, the Shema Gavtalim were the chief rabbi and the assistant chief rabbi, they were Gerim. That's the impossible. They can't be members of the Bezna Gordel period. So the Maharal claims that it doesn't mean Yesim B'Dam Amayel Shlom doesn't mean that they themselves were Gerim. They were descendants from Gerim. Yeah, well, how did the Rambam know that they were Gerim? Because the Gemara comments as a Mishnah Mikvois that Gimelu Gimayim Shuvim Pasol LeMikveh. That's how we paskin. So the Gemara says that Hillel was a Talmud of Shmai Bavtalian, I think the Gemara says. So he said Maloi Hin Mayim Shuvim Pasol LeMikveh. So why did he say Maloi Hin? Because the Rebbe said Maloi Hin Mayim Shuvim. So Chai Varam Loimim B'Loshem Rabbah. Hillel had to say over the same way the Rebbe said. What did the Rebbe say Maloi Hin? The Rebbe could have said Hin Mayim Shuvim Pasol LeMikveh. So the Gemara says because the Ger, the Nochrim find it difficult to pronounce a Hey. I don't know what. They find it difficult, usually they find it difficult to pronounce a Ches. But apparently then they couldn't pronounce a Hey. So if they're going to say Hin, Maim Shuvim Pasol LeMikveh, it's going to sound like Ein, Maim Shuvim Pasol LeMikveh. So they'll convey the wrong impression. So in Shmayu or Avtalian, whichever one was saying over the din, so he had to say Maloi in Mayim Shuvim. Because if you just say in Mayim Shuvim, they'll think a Mayim Shuvim, Pasul Musan Mikveh. It's a statement that it doesn't pasul. He meant to say that if you have a hin, a volume of a hin of water, so he had to say Maloi in Mayim Shuvim. So because he had to say because he couldn't pronounce Hebrew well. But Hillel, his Talmud, knew how to pronounce Hebrew. So why did Hillel say the whole sentence the way the Rebbe said? He could have said, Hey, Mayim Shum, Pazan, why do I have to say Maloi? Because Chai Barim Lai, Mabalosh and Rambam. That's what the Gemara says. So why couldn't Shmai Bav Tan pronounce Hebrew? That's what the Rambam understood, that they themselves were Gerim. They themselves were Gerim. If they're descendants from Gerim, an earlier generation, so why would they be mispronouncing Hebrew? Why couldn't they pronounce Hebrew properly? That's what the Rambam apparently thinks. What does he do? That Kasha, that's the Maharal's Kasha. How can it be the Shmai Rav Talim were Gerim? They can't even be members of the Bezna Gordel. That's the Maharami Prague's Kasha. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say on that Kasha that you see from the Gemara and Sanhedrin earlier that they were different. Why can't the Ger be a member of the Bezna Gordel? The Mishnah in Horius, why not? It's an Indian of Sarora. You're not permitted, the Pasuk says, Some tossim alach ha-melech, mikerev achecha tossim alach ha-melech. Lo silcha lo silach ishnecha shaloi achichahu. So the Gemara says, not only you're not permitted to appoint the Nochri as the melech of the Klal Yisrael. You have to appoint a person who has a good yichus in a position of sarara over others. You're not permitted to appoint a ger. The Gemara says you can't appoint a ger to be the melech of Klal Yisrael. It has to be miker of achecha, mimutcha shev achecha. It has to have the same yichus or more in order to have a sarara position over the others. So to be a member of the Bez Nagodol, to paskin issues of a Klal Yisrael, also it's an issue of sarara. They need paskin for everybody. So you can't have gerim in that position. Just to be appointed, to be a member of Bez Nagodol, that's a sarara. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Gemara has, the Rambam quotes these Gemaras on Pei Chesam and Beis. The Gemara has that there were two differences between the Bez Nagodol and the other, but the dinim of 23 and 3. And so on. The Bez Nagodol of 71 used to meet even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Used to meet on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Either there's a Mishnah ain't done in the Shabbos of Yom Tov. So what are they meaning for? And then the Gemara has also, it's a long brice on Peches on the base. It says also they had longer hours. Bez Nagodol used to Shishom Yoshim Yitom Shal Shachar Atom Shal Benabayim. Tom Shal Shachar was always brought every day before, at the crack of dawn. Hey, Ramizah, before, an hour before sunrise, very early, an hour before sunrise or so. Till the Talmud shall be Abayim, that's till the afternoon. So the Bez Nagodol used to sit in session a whole day till, they had a lunch break or something, but they sat in session a whole day till the Talmud shall be Abayim, was in the middle of the afternoon. Every other Bez then doesn't sit so long. Every other Bez then just sits till around 12 o'clock and that's it. They sit from the morning till 12 o'clock and they call it quits. So how come the Bez Nagodol meets so much longer? So the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, starts off by stating that the Bez Nagodol are the sort of the koilol of Klal Yisrael. Their job really is to preserve the Masorah and to transfer the learning from generation to generation. Once in a while, you'll need a Bez Nagodol to paskin on an Eir Nidachas. How often did it come up in the history of the world, an Eir Nidachas? One Dana says, Lohoi v'loyos aliyos, never was, never is going to happen. Or once in a yovel when you ain't done mis hamelach, when you wanted to judge the king, ain't done mis hakain gadol ela bebezna shoshim yechad. How often did it come up? Maybe once in 100 years they're going to judge the king or they're going to judge the kain gadol. Didn't come up so often that they'd be judging them. So, how often did it come up that bezna gadol had to issue a psak? Kipol muchadav ala mishpat meidam ledam and didn't have to be machriya. Didn't come up so often. They left all the machlokes in the way they were. Shevet Zvulun had their own Bez Nagodol, they paskin for Zvulun. Shevet Yisach had their own Bez Nagodol, they paskin for them. And they had they followed their shita. They followed their shita like today. Chassidim followed their, the Misnagdim followed theirs, and these followed theirs. They followed the Taz, and they followed the Magen Avraham. They followed the Vilna Gaon. And in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, every Shevet had their own Bez Nagodol. Once in a long while, they would bring an issue up to the Bez Nagodol. So a lot of times Bez Nagodol would say, we don't want to take a stand. The Supreme Court has to pass in every shadow that they present. They have to pass. A lot of times they leave it alone. They don't want to take a stand. So once in a while, the Bez Nagodol would pass. Oh, what? If the Bez Nagodol is going to pass for Gans Klal Yisrael, that's already an act of Sroro. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. You can appoint Shmai Vavtalyan to be members of the Koilo, of the super-duper Koilo of Klal Yisrael. If they're most qualified, if they know how to learn, so you put them in the Koilo. And they learn from Tomisha Shachar to Tomisha Ben Abayim, and they sit and learn Shabbos Yom Tov also. If an issue will come up that's going to need a psak from the Bez Nagodol, that's already an act of Sarare, either a psak over the Melech, or a psak here in Idachas, or a psak for all of Klal Yisrael. So these two will have to excuse themselves. Shmai Baftam have to excuse themselves. They get two other people to take the place at the time of the voting, and then they'll vote. So they'll have all 71 members of the Bez Nagodol will not be Gerim. For the Sarara aspect of the Bez Nagodol, you can't have a gear. But for the Koilal aspect, if the gear is qualified, you appoint the gear, Basa Shlem. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. I saw over here the Chidor also quotes that Kasha. How can it be that according to the Rambam, Shmai Baptalim were Gerim? How can it be that they were appointed members of the Bez Nagodol Noch and the chief rabbi and the assistant chief rabbi, the Nossi and the Abezn? So he quotes Rashbeitz. From the Tshuvas HaRashbeitz, the Chidor HaNa'an Yankiv here, he quotes from the Rashbeitz, gives a different answer. He says, this halacha that you can't appoint a person who's lacking in yichis to a position of sarara. Let's say the president of the shul. President of the shul, that's a Rav Soloveitchik said, president of the shul is a position of sarara. So the Rambam writes, Santos Malach Melach, Melach Ulay Malko. The Sifrei has a drasha like that, that you're not supposed to appoint a woman to a position of Sarara over men. If it's a woman's auxiliary, it's a woman's club, so you appoint a woman as the president over the women. That's not a problem. But if it's an organization for the Klal Yisrael, so you're not supposed to have Golda Meir, shouldn't be the Rosh HaMemshalah. That's what they asked Rav Soloveitchik. Was it permissible to appoint Golda Meir as the Rosh HaMemshalah? A woman, so he said in Ben-Gurion was Mutta. Ben-Gurion was an apikiris. You're asking about the Golda Meir. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe wrote originally, he has a tshuva, is it permissible for, there was a Rav Zenda used to give a hashgacha on some kind of a kosher product, and he died at a young age. So the shaila was whether his almana, she needed a parnasa. So the people in the food industry, they were prepared to have her maintain the hashgacha. But the question is that acceptable, that a woman should say this is under the supervision of Rebbetzin Zenda? Is that okay? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, he says yes. Aye, but the Rambam says that you're not permitted to have a woman in a position of Sarara. So Rav Moshe thinks that Taisus and all the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and he paskins against the Rambam. So later, when Golda Meir was appointed the Rosh HaMemshalah, so they were upset about Rav Moshe's tshuva, so he said it's all his fault. It's all because of Rav Moshe. So if I would have been Rav Moshe, I would have left. That's my fault. So Rav Moshe didn't laugh, and he wrote a tshuva. Oh, that he felt compelled to respond. So he writes that in the tshuva. So then, haben sie mich gefragt, the Shaila? They asked me, the Shaila. They don't look at my Igris Moshe, they don't know what I took a stand that women Majgiach, women Rabba Maksha. He said, has nothing to do with me. I would have just left the whole thing up. But Rav Moshe was such a tzaddik, he felt he had to express his opinion. So Rav Moshe felt that we don't paskin like that, Ramla, that you can't appoint a woman to any position of Sror. Shlom Tzion, okay, you have kids. So you have problems. The Rambam quotes a Gemara. There is a Gemara though. You can't appoint a ger to any position of Sarara, not only to Malchus. The Gemara says, same tossim, kol mesimus b'mashma. So the Gemara says, if you have a labor union, the Gemara says, if you have a basatregas union, so which consists of gerim and non-gerim, so the Gemara says, you're not permitted to appoint a ger, reishkar gevatne, no. Reish Kargusa, the Gemara says, so you can't appoint a ger to be the head of the union, because that's a position of Sarara. So the Rambam assumes that a ger is the same as an isha, that just like you can't appoint a ger, kol mesimus b'mashmas an isha, you can't appoint to any position of Sarara. The Rav Moshe thinks that it's not so. He claims that Taisus all over assumes that by isha there's no problem of Sarara, so he thinks that is permissible. So that's why according to Rav Moshe, it's not, strictly speaking, there's no violation if you appoint a woman as the president of the shul. According to Rav Moshe, I don't know what he would say, but maybe he feels that it's a violation of Tznius, but strictly speaking, it's not a violation of Sarara. Rav Soloveitchik thought not so. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell Rabbanim that we should follow the Rambam, that the Rambam says you're not permitted to appoint a woman to any. A woman is like a ger, learned that from the same sukkah, you're not allowed to appoint. So how come once in a while we do appoint a ger, or we do appoint a woman? So that's what the Chidor quotes from the Rashbates. Sometimes the ger gets it birusha. That's what the Kesem Mishnah points at. That Rechavam ben Shlomo, when David HaMelech died, so Shlomo HaMelech got the Malchus birusha. When Shlomo HaMelech died, so his son Rechavam got the Melucha. So Rechavam's mother was a Gioris. Was a Gioris. So the Rambam says you only allowed to appoint to Malchus, it's a Gemara, Tosef, I think, in Sanhedrin. We're only allowed to appoint to a Malchus a person who's Ovi V'Imo Yisrael. The both parents were naturally Jewish. So here, Rechavam's mother was a Gioris. So how could they appoint him as the Melech? So the Kesem Mishnah, I think the Kesem Mishnah gives the Teretz. He says, Rechavam got to be Rushim. They didn't appoint him. That's Halacha only in Tchilas HaHismanos. When you appoint someone as the Melech, then you have to appoint Nishkin Ger, and Amiyuchas, and Nishkin Isha, and so on. But what if someone was appointed Kedas V'Kalocha, Kedin, and that person dies, and then one of his descendants gets a Birusha? If he gets Birusha, you're not being Memanahim. That's, I think, the Kesem Mishnah writes like that. Sometimes the Kesem Mishnah, Nadi Yehuda, they write on the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Malocha. So here the Chidor has another, he quotes from the Rash Beitz. What if you're looking at all the candidates whom we're considering, and there's only one who can really do a good job? The others are really not fit for the job. Let's say president of the shul. So sometimes the only one who's going to do a good job is going to be a woman. If you'll appoint the other people, some in the big shuls in the big cities, it doesn't come up, you have so many members, but sometimes in a little village, you don't have so many people in the membership, so if you're going to appoint a man is busy, he runs around all day to make a living. Hotish can cite to be metapolin at Tzarochim of the shul. So that's what the Chidor quotes over here. He says, why did they appoint a ger? If the Rambam assumes Shmai Vavtalim again, so how could they appoint them to be members of the Tzaren, to be the Abbezin and the Nasi? So he says they saw under the circumstances that they were the most qualified for the job, so they couldn't overlook them. So they had a, it's not really a violation of Sem Tosim. Sem Tosim that you should choose Mimuvcha Shebachech means if you have a choice, I can either appoint this person or that person, so don't choose the gear. So don't appoint the Isha to a position of Svar. Don't appoint the gear to a position of Svar. But if it's not at all Zelobo Becheshbon, this person will do a good job, this one will simply not do a good job. So you have no brera. That's what the Chidor quotes to answer this Rambam. Yeah, father was an.
Father was not an Eved.
Father was an Eved. Forgot
about him. Father was an
Eved. An Eved, yeah. Also, wasn't royal Malchus. That's how the Gemara says. It wasn't really royal Malchus. It wasn't right that they appointed him as the king. Taisus quotes, yeah. You see, from the Taisus, he can give smicha. That's in Rav Soloveitchik. Good candidate. If he'll come to the yeshiva and learn, he'll go back. He's prepared to go to their community in Ashkash, wherever it was there in Europe. So he'll make a good rabbi, because he was brought up with them. Okay, so Balez Breira, that's what the Chidor says then. So we're afraid that he doesn't have the schus obis to be megan on him because they fired Rabbi. So we're afraid that he doesn't have the schus obis to be megan on him because they fired Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is going to feel upset why they fired him and they appointed. So they fired him, what can he do? But then they're going to appoint someone else. He's going to feel upset, why is that guy taking my job? So if it's going to be a person with heavy yichas, so the yichas will be megan on him. So the Gemara says they were afraid. Dilma manishle. Rabbi Gamliel may curse or may give a krechts. Be upset over the fact that Rabbi Akiva Tzugigam and Zayn Shtela is his position as chief rabbi, and he may be punished because of that. That's, I think, what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the Nebuchadnezzar, his descendants, his grandchildren, also wanted to convert. Bikash HaKadosh Baruch Lachnis and Tachas Kafi Hashchina, and the Malachi Asheris didn't let. Malach Hashem said, how can you do that? Rebbeinu Shalom, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so he didn't let. But the others he did allow. The Gemara says he did allow. So it's an interesting Gemara. They quote the Pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Rifinu es Bavel, Eloi Nir Fiso. We were trying to heal Bavel, and said, Nishgi Gangen. What does it mean? We tried to heal Bavel and it didn't work. The Gemara says that's what it's an allusion to. To be Merapi Bavel means that Mibnei Bonam shall Nebuchadnezzar should become Gerim, they should be Nichnas Kach Sav HaShchina, and the Malachim didn't let the Rabbani Shalom do that. It's an interesting concept. I don't know, Rav Kook has in one of his Svarim a comment. I don't know if this is his own Melitza, he's quoting it from a Zohar or from another Sefer. It says, Mochetim Chezech HaMolik Mitachas HaShemayim. So he says the expression Mitachas HaShemayim is to the exclusion of Me'al HaShemayim. From our perspective, you have to wipe out HaMolik. From the Rabbani Shalom's perspective, it's called Ma'ad HaRachmona L'Tava of it. So everything that HaMolik did is wonderful. And HaMolik is L'Tava, everything is L'Tava. So from the Rabbani Shalom's perspective, something is good is going to come from HaMolik. So that's what the Gemara says. From Sancheirev and from Naaman originally was a general who was fighting against Bnei Yisrael. All these people, Nebuzaradan was a general who actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The Nebuchadnezzar was not there when they were destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara quotes on the top. On the top of Tzadik Vavim and Beis. The Gemara says Nebuchadnezzar was in Rivlosso, Zuan Tuchya. He wasn't there when they were destroying. He just sent his general and the Nebuzaradan to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Either Pasuk says that he was there. The Pasuk says earlier there in Yirmiyah that the Nebuchadnezzar was there. So the Gemara says he wasn't really there. They had his image engraved on the chariots, or this Nebuzaradan, his general, was such an eved, he was so kafuf to his king, Nebuchadnezzar, that he considered as if Nebuchadnezzar was in front of him. Every step of the way, when Nebuzaradan was giving instructions how to burn the Beis HaMikdash, how to do everything, everything was because he was sittering from Nebuchadnezzar. So the Pasuk considers it as if Nebuchadnezzar was really there, but he wasn't really there. So the Gemara says, they both. Nebuzaradan converted and Nebuchadnezzar's children wanted to convert. Something good came out of all of these people. That even though we had the impression from our perspective that this was the epitome of evil, this is kula ra, but that's mitachas la shaman, but mi'al shaman, from the Rabbi Shalom's perspective, something good did come out. The Talmid once asked Rav Soloveitchik when he was talking about this on Tisha B'Av, I think, because this appears in the Agarata and Gitna and Daf Nun Zayin, all the Agarata of the Churban. So they asked him, what does he think about the Nazis? Where they, can you say the same thing? That the name of the Nazis, they'll convert. He says he can't believe it. He says on Haman, on this, they can believe it. He says the Nazis he thought were utter pure riches. He doesn't see any good coming out from them. I don't know. The Gemara has a famous Agarata on Omed Aleph, on Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph, that the Pesukim say in Yirmiyah, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was sick and Yishayah Navi came to visit him. Yishayah tells him he's going to die because he didn't marry and he didn't have children. He didn't have any children. So the Gemara Brachas quotes the whole story. He says he saw Beruach HaKodesh that if he has children, they're going to be Rishoyim. And he won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya anyway. Piri V'Rivya, you're only Yoytze if you have children who are observant and you transmit Yiddishkeit to the children. But if you have children who are Rebbe, they have a desert, that's an Ishkin Piri V'Rivya. So he said he can't fulfill anyway what he wants. So Yishayah Anoi tells him, Bahari Kapsha Achman Olam Malach, it's not so. You get married and you'll have children. So when he was Mekabel on himself that he's going to get married, so right away he got better. He was holding by dying. Right away he got better. And then the Navi Yishayah, I think, tells him, Navi Yishayah tells him as when his father, who was Chizkiyahu HaMelech's father, was Ochaz HaMelech. Ochaz HaMelech was an Ovid of Yisrael. So when he died, when Ochaz HaMelech died, so the Gemara says, Nivze b'yenev nimos that Chizkiyahu HaMelech shigir atz mesaviv al mitzvah shel chavolim. When the father died, despite the fact that it was his father, he was the Melech of all of Eretz Yisrael, he was mevaza the father's body, and they didn't deliver a hesped at the funeral, and it was a bizoyin dike kfura. What was the chokhmah to be mevaza? There's no mitzvah of kibarav if the father's not alive. There is still a mitzvah, mechabdu menchai mecham lacham oisai, but if the father's a rasha, there's no din of kibarav after he dies. And Melech Yisrael, while he's alive, even if he's a rasha, there is a din of kvod ha-melech. It says, Eliyahu ha-melech, vayishanes es masnav, he's running in front of Achav. Achav ha-rasha was an ovid of a desorah, because Acha was alive. But as soon as he dies, so then Yerushalmi says, there's no din of Kveid HaMelech, Lacha Mosaf, the Melech is a Rosham. So on this occasion, Chizkiyahu HaMelech wanted his father to have a kapara. That's why he thought that there was no hesped. He was mevazeh him. He didn't have a bekavadik funeral. So the Gemara quotes the pesukim from Nabi that in order to see to it that no one should deliver any hesped, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes. And that day, normally the sun shines for 12 hours in a day. That day, the sun only shone for 2 hours, and then the sun set suddenly to make sure that no one will get up and deliver a hesped. So years later, when Chizkiyahu HaMelech promised that he is going to get married, and Yeshayahu Navi says in the schus that you're promising you're going to get married, you're going to have many more years, 15 years I think the pasuk said, 15 years are going to be added onto your life. So he gives him a simen that the 8 hours or the 10 hours, whatever it was the pasuk says, the hours that were missing the day that your father died, Ochaz died, and the sun set so early that day, in order that Min HaShemayim, they shouldn't be able to deliver hesped. So today, we're going to make up for that. So today, this day, you're going to get better. And the sun is going to shine instead of normal 10, 12 hours, it's going to shine 20 hours. And that's going to be the similar davar that my nevuah is going to be fulfilled, that you're going to live an extra 15 years, you're not going to die. So all the people in the world knew about this. Yeah, I think the Mashur, the other Mefarshim, asked Kakashin, what did he have to give him a similar davar? A zokta nevuah. If a man comes to you from the street, he says, I'm a Navi, and the Rabbanu Shalom told me b'nevuah that you should take out all of your savings and buy stocks in an oil company. I don't have to listen to him. Maybe he's a mishugana. Who says I have to listen? You only have to listen to the person if he establishes himself as a Navi Muchzok, if he shows an osam office or something. But Yeshayahu Navi had already been established for many years. He's giving nevuahs for a long time. So here the Mefarshim ask, why did Yeshayahu Navi have to give him an os? Why isn't it a good nevuah without an os? Well, so all of a sudden we're not sure if he's a Navi or not. I don't know, I thought the Pashto says that it's not an ois to prove that he's a Navi MS. He doesn't have to give an ois every time he gives a nevuah. I thought it's like the Ramban writes on Chumash, that if the Navi gives a poel dimion, the Ramban coins a term, if the Navi gives a poel dimion, that's going to be a stronger nevuah. Sometimes Baruch Shalom gives a nevuah, Yeshayahu HaNavi delivers a nevuah to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, you're going to have a refuah shleim, you're going to live an extra 15 years. And what if he decides to do an aveira now? So then the Rebbeinu Shlom can say, oh, the nevuah is only on the understanding, you're gonna be a tzaddik. If you're going to do averis, ois nevuah. So if the Rebbeinu Shlom is nishba, if he makes a shvuah, if he makes a bris, a kriyas bris, the Rambanu Chumash says the same as a shvuah, that's al kol panim. Or the Rambanu Chumash writes, if he makes a poel dimyon, if he does some activity, like who is the Yecheskel HaNavi is told he should take two pieces of wood and hold them together, take the two pieces of wood. This is a similar dover that Losi Lova, Yosef, with the other Shvatim, they'll all live in peace and harmony together. So whenever there's a Nevu with a Poel Dimon, he acts something out. The Navi is told to act something out. So that's like a Shvuah, that's Al Koponim. Under all conditions, it's not going to be Chayzer. Such a Nevu cannot be reversed. So that's Al Pipashtis over here. The Navi Yishai doesn't have to prove that he's a Navi. He's a Shangiben al Navi Muksak for a long time. He said, Zelecha ha'ois, this is the ois that the sun is going to shine today 20 hours instead of 12 hours. This is an ois, this is a poel dimyon. So this nevuah will not be reversed, and whatever you're going to do now, you're going to have the extra 15 years. The nevuah l'toivah always has to come true. Yeah, I don't know. So it's only on the nevuah l'rod that it makes a difference. I don't know. The Gemara says in Shabbos, nevuah l'toivah, the Rebbeinu Shlom never will reverse. Nevuah the Roah, sometimes yes, sometimes no, and then the Ramban. I don't know. I think the Ramban has the Pearl Dimion on the table also. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. See, here the Gemara says, when that occurred, that the sun was shining for 20 hours in the day, so all the people in the world saw that there's a manishtan, something's going on over here. So they asked, what happened? So they told at that time Sancheirav was the Melech Gavel, during the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So they told Sancheirav, Melech Bavel, that the Jewish king was sick, and Gansa Mais, and the Navi gave him a refuah, and the sun was shining as a simon l'dava that he's going to live on another 15 years. So he says, wow, this is the king of Eretz Yisrael, this is the Jewish God, he has to send him a letter. So he says he was composing his letter. So usually his scribe was Nebuchadnezzar, was the scribe for Sancheirav. He was the secretary. Secretary took over later, he became the king. Interesting. Secretary later on became the king. Huh? Oh, okay. So years later, the secretary became the king, Melech Bavel. So at that time, he was only the secretary. So that day, Punkti wasn't there. So when they wrote the letter, so they wrote, Shalom Aleichem, Chizkio Melech Yehuda. And Shalom to the Jewish city, Yerushalayim. And Shalom to the God of the Jewish people. So he sent the letter that they should deliver it. Someone's going to go deliver it to Chizkio HaMelech in Yerushalayim. So the Nebuchadnezzar comes back at the end of the day. He says, I missed the whole day's work. I wasn't doing my secretarial work. Were there any letters sent today? Zokta, yeah, we sent a letter to Chizkio HaMelech because of this. And what did it say in the letter? Zokta, Shalom Aleichem to Chizkio HaMelech Yud, and Shalom Aleichem to Yerushalayim, Shalom Aleichem to the God of the Jewish people. He said, the God of the Jewish people made all the nisim and the flaws, and you put him last? Where are your brains? Where's your dercherets? Get back the letter. You have to get back the letter. So Sancheret tells Nebuchadnezzar, Kraina digarta, iu levi parvanka. That's a good idea that you say, okay, you get back the letter. That's how the Gemara says, 6-7 lines from the bottom. Kraina digarta, that's your einfall. One of the Mefarshim says, that's the job of the secretary. You're my secretary, so you always... We usually say Kleine Digarta doesn't only mean the one who's the secretary. It happens over here. Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara says, was the secretary of Sancheret Melech Bavel. But it usually means the one who comes up with the idea, so I'm mechabed him that he should do it. Kleine Digarta, you'll be the shliach. Like Pinchas, yeah, like Pinchas, he wasn't any secretary. It means that you pointed it out that there's a din of Kanoim Pogamo, so you go take care of it. So he started running, wrote Basrei. So he started running, Nebuchadnezzar started running after the Shliach, who was about to deliver the thing. And he was prepared to run and run and run because he thought that this is such a Chilul Hashem to say Shalom Aleichem to the Jewish God last. First you say Shalom Aleichem to the king and then Shalom Aleichem to the Jewish God at the end. So he was prepared to run a long distance. The Malach was Mapsikim. And somehow the Malach arranged that he should only run 3 or 4 steps. We have different girsas in the Gemara. In the Gemara it says, Arba Psias. And on the side, on the margin, on the right-hand side margin, they say that in the Midrashim and the Yalkut Shemani, it says, Sholosh Psias. The two girsas, whether he ran, he was prepared to run and run and run in order to retrieve the letter, to correct this improper writing of the letter. So he only ran either 3 or 4 Psias, then the Malach stopped, and then the Gemara says, wow. If the Malach wouldn't have stopped him and he would have run and shown such cover to the Elokei Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shlomo would have made him the top man in the world. Amazal Zach that the Malach stopped him and that he only ran 3 psias. So as a reward for the fact that he showed cover to Elokei Yisrael, that he ran 3 or 4 psias, that's why later, years later, when he became the king, when the secretary became the king of Bavel, that's why, and he sent the Vuzaradim to destroy Yerushalayim, that's why the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave him Hatzlache, and he succeeded in destroying Yerushalayim. That's how the Gemara says. So on this Gemara, there's a famous comment that the Marshoi has, but in Shulchan Aruch they have this comment. We have, I don't know if it's a din or a minig, the Gemara in Yuma says, when you're about to daven Shmoneh Esrei, we say you should step forward 3 steps. When you finish the Shmoneh Esrei, you step back 3 steps. So what is that all about? So the Pasha Pshat is that we live in the middle of this world, and when we're preparing ourselves to daven to the Rebbeinu Shlomo Shmoneh, so you should walk a little bit away. You shouldn't stay where you are, in the middle of everything. And then when you finish davening, you should step back into this world. You shouldn't think that you're still in heaven with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and you're going to fear your life like this. You should realize when you daven, you're lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rambam writes a lashon like that. When a person davens, he should be like, Eimid lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven. He should visualize in his mind as if he's standing in heaven and davening in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And so when he begins to daven, he should step forward 3 steps. When he finishes, he should step back 3 steps. The poskim have a machloek is what happens if he's davening by the Mizrach Rad. There's no way to walk forward. So many people have the meaning that you walk back 3 steps in order to enable yourself to walk forward 3 steps. And many others say, no, that doesn't make any sense. If there's nowhere to walk, so you stand where you are. And you say, Shmoneh Esrei, why should you walk back 3 steps in order to prepare yourself to walk forward 3 steps? If you can walk forward, it's good. If there's nowhere to walk, so you daven where you are. Sure. So that says in the Gemara Yuma, part of it. The Gemara Yuma says, when you finish, you step back 3 steps. Stepping forward, that taka doesn't say in the Gemara, but it's understood when you start. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the snare was burning, so it says that he stepped forward. But how does this pasuk say? By Yosav Lirois. I think the Medrash says on that pasuk, he stepped forward 3 steps. When you're approaching the Shekhinah, You should walk away from the humdrum of life, and you should walk to a different place. And then when he finished, so he walked back 3 steps to come back into this world. So then we have a minig. This minig already doesn't say in the Gemara. After we step back 3 steps, Yiratzon Sheibaneh Beis HaMikdash Meher Yameinu. What's that? Why do we say in the Shema Nesrei Yiratzon Sheibaneh Beis HaMikdash? Why don't you say there? Why do you save it till after the 3 steps? So that's what the Marsha quotes, but in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarshim have this. Because Sancheirev was successful in destroying the Beis HaMikdash because of the 3 steps, the Schar Gimel Psius that he took, Lechvodu Shal Mokoyim. So we take 3 steps also, Lechvodu Shal Mokoyim. We step back from at the end of the Shemona Esrei, Lechvodu Shal Mokoyim, to demonstrate we were just mamish in the presence of the Shechina, and now we're walking away from the Shechina. So we take 3 steps back, and then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Sancheirev was rewarded as a Schar for his 3 steps. The Nebuchadnezzar was given success in destroying the Bais Rishon. So our 3 steps, L'chodosh HaMakom, should be rewarded with Yibana Beis HaMikdash Meher Meir. We should zeicha to see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. So that's all based on this Gemara.
Shem was also managed because he said first, Baruch Keol Avraham, and therefore, Elyon.
Mm-hmm.
So he was managed, and Kahuna was removed.
Was taken, right, the Gemara points it out. Yeah. The Gemara Lamed Beis has an expression that's a famous line. Rav Chaim Volozhiner talks about this in Nefesh HaChaim. The Gemara says that when the Ruzaradin destroyed the first Beis HaMikdosh, so the Gemara says he became Zocha Daite, about 15-20 lines from the top of Tzadik Vovah Meis. The Gemara says Zocha Daite. He thought, wow, he succeeded in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. I must be a great man. So a voice came out from heaven, Nafka Baskol Yomrole, Amakti Lakatlas, he killed people who were dead already. Ech Lakal Yakolis, you burnt the Beis HaMikdash that already was burnt to ashes. And Kimcha Tchina Tchinas, you ground up flour that was already ground up. You didn't do anything. What does it mean? That the sins of Bnei Yisrael had already caused that there was a gzardin against them, that they should all the people should die, and the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, and everything should be in a state of churban. So he was just touching up, but everything was already destroyed. It wasn't that he accomplished it with his strength; it was because the Bnei Yisrael had sinned. That's the expression Kimcha Tchina Tchinas. Some of the people who lived through the Nazi persecutions made such a comment. Other people were unhappy about it. But some Rabbanim said, when we were young Tamidim in Yeshiva, so we would imagine in our minds, oh, in Europe it must have been so much learning and so much Yerushalayim and everything, which in a certain sense was true, different parts of Europe. So one of the Rabbanim said, he had learned in the Mir Yeshiva, he said, yeah, the Mir Yeshiva at its peak had 400 Tamidim from 400 different cities. He said, it's not like now, that you have in Borough Park and every corner you have 5-4 yeshivas, and all the children go to yeshiva till they get married. He said the Mir Yeshiva had 400 Talmidim, came out from 400 different cities. One Talmud from a city, the others went to work, and many were communists, and many were not religious at all, and so on. He said we shouldn't. Many of them were tzaddikim. In Poland, many were tzaddikim. But he said many of them were not religious at all. So he made such a comment, he thought that it was a p'china of kimcha t'china t'chinas. And others were unhappy about that. Others who survived the Holocaust were unhappy about hearing such a comment. They didn't think it corresponded to their communities. The Gemara says the statement about the Bais Rishon, at the time that the Guzaradin destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, so the Baskol came out and said, kimcha t'china t'chinas. And this Gemara, one of the commentaries on the bottom of the Ein Yankiv, written by the Chok Yankiv. He has a commentary that's called Iyun Yaakov. He always has halachic comments. Instead of Agarata, he usually has halacha. So he points out that there's a problem over here. The Gemara says that the descendants of Haman, the Bnei Bonav Shal Haman, lom the Torah b'Bnei Brak. Obviously, they converted. That's on the fourth wide line on Tzadik Vav Amud Beis. So he says this poses a problem because there's a mechilta that says at the end of Parashat B'Shalach that you're not allowed to be mekabel geir from Amalek. So the pasuk says, Haman hu agogi, and Agog was Amaleki. Haman was an Amaleki. So how could it be a mekabim ger mi Amalek? That's the kasha that he asks. So some achrayim quote the Talmud Yerushalmi and Megillah says that Haman was not really an Amaleki. How come in the Megillah says that he's described as an Amaleki? He did my Amalek. He did the same as Amalek. Just like Amalek wanted to wipe out the entire Jewish people, Haman also planned to do the same. But
it says Agogi.
Agogi.
So that's
Agog. So Agog was Melech Amalek. So the Yerushalmi says it's not really true. He wasn't really a descendant of Agog. We call him Haman Agogi because he did my Agog. Because he did my Amalek. But he really wasn't. That's how they quote a Yerushalmi like that. Some Acharon quote that Yerushalmi to answer the Kasha, that Rashi says, Achumish, Timcha Zech Amalek, you're not allowed to, you have to kill all the people from Amalek. You're not permitted to be nenef from any property that belonged to Amalek. Mishorat, say, not allowed to take anything. The Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, that when Shmuel HaNavi commanded Shaul to wipe out Amalek, so he says she killed all the behemoths. So that's a Shaila, was that a Hirah Shor, only on that occasion? He was commander, is that a real Din L'Doris, that throughout all the generations, the Din requires you have to wipe out Mishor V'Atzei, not allowed to get on off from anything. So Rashi and Chumash writes, that's the Din L'Doris. The Minchas Chino Chep is a Din Tzach with Rashi. He thinks that maybe it's only a Hirah Shor. So the... So that's a kasha that Achreinim asked. It says in the end of Megillah Esther, there's Beis Haman, it says Achashverosh gave over all the property of Beis Haman to Mordechai and Esther. So they took all the property, they took all the money. So if he should follow Rashi Shita, that it's a din l'dor, it's not just the Hirah Shor in the time of Shaul HaMelech that he had to wipe out Mishor V'Yatzeh. It's a real din l'dor, you're not allowed to get on off many money, many property that belonged to Amalek. So how were they permitted, how was Mordechai and Esther permitted to take Beis Haman? That's the kash. So the Rabbi Yeruchim Perla has in his commentary on Sefer Mitzvah of Sanhedrin, he quotes the three terutzim that the Achrayim give on this kasha. So one terutz he quotes is, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that Haman wasn't really from Amalek. He wasn't really from Agog. He did Maisa Agog. He did Maisa Amalek. He wasn't really a biological descendant of Amalek, so therefore the din doesn't apply. Then he has other terutzim also. He has another terutz that the only time you have this din, that you're not allowed to be nenef from anything from Amalek, that's only if Bnei Yisrael wage a war that's waged by a Jewish army that's sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So what? There was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Achashverosh was a Nochri. They happened to kill, if there would be, Shaul HaMelech was in Melech Yisrael. He had a Jewish army in Eretz Yisrael. So when he waged war against Amalek, and then there's a din Mishor V'Yatzeh. So that's Taka, according to Rashi, that's a din L'doris. But here, on this occasion, no one was waging any war. The din is Muhammad Hashem Amalek. It's only Derech Muhammad. If it's not Derech Muhammad, the whole din doesn't apply. Let's say you see an Amaleki walking down the block. So it's a mitzvah lahorgoy. The Pashta says that not. Some say that, yeah. But the Pashta says that not. The Rambam writes that by Zayin Amamin. He says, Lo Yisachai Kol Neshama is a din. If you see someone walking down the block, you can identify him as one of the Zayin Umas. So it's a mitzvah lahorgoy if he can get away with it. But by Amalek, the Rambam never wrote it. So the Pashta says, because the Lashon HaPasuk is Muhammad Hashem Amalek. It's only Derech Muhammad. Only if you have a Yiddish army sponsored by the Yiddish government and Eretz Yisrael, so you had none of that. So the whole din of Amalek didn't apply. That's the second teretz that he gives. Then he gives a third teretz, Rabbi Yochanan Perla quotes it. The mother gives a third teretz. That just like we had the Gemara, Aman Mayavti Haru B'Sichon, the only time there's an Isser to take, Bnei Yisrael were commanded not to take Aman Mayav, it's only if we take directly from Aman Mayav. But if Sichon waged war against them and he conquered their territory and then we took it away from Sichon, so since it was laundered, we learned the Gemara last week, since it was laundered, that was on Tzadik Dalar on the base, six lines from the bottom, so therefore the Issa didn't apply. So the same over here, that's how he quotes the suggestions from Achrayim, that Haman was Harugi Melech. So Harugi Melech, HaNechseim LaMelech, that's the Gemara earlier, I think, Memches on the base. Harugi Melech is a Machloikis HaTaran. We pass from Harugi Melech, Nechseim LaMelech. So Haman's property really belonged to Achashverosh. Then Achashverosh can do whatever he wants. Achashverosh gave it over. He gave over Beis Haman to Mordechai V'Esther. So the only time you say it's also Bahanoah, to get any Hanoah from Amalek's property is if the Eden take directly from Amalek. But if someone else takes from Amalek and then we take from the someone else, it's like Tiharu B'Sichon. Since it was laundered, so there's no prohibition. So this is the discussion that they have. This is all on the assumption, this is the machlokes that they have, whether Haman was really from Amalek or not. So if you should assume like the Talmud, Yerushalmi Haman was not from Amalek, so the whole kasha Rabbi Zalkan understand what the Chayk Yankiv asks over here. How can it be that they were mekabel gerim? The Mechilta says, "Ain mekabel gerim yamalik." So the a few Achrayim say, I think the Chidor in his commentary on the Yan Yankiv, and others say that the Rambam never quoted that Mechilta, "Ain mekabel gerim yamalik." So they suggest that's exactly the reason why the Rambam at Fashtanim that this Gemara is chaylik on the Mechilta. If it's since Haman was also from Amalek, and it says that his descendants converted and they were learning Torah in Bnei Brak, so obviously the Babli is of the opinion, yes, mekabel gerim yamalik. And that's why when you look, the Chidor says, that's why when you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes that we have a din, Haidos bal din kimei reidim dam. If a person admits that he owes money to someone else, so Haidos bal din, we learn that from a pasuk, ki hu zeh. It says the Pasha Mishpatim, Hashem ki hu zeh, so Rashi writes in Bab Metzia, that's the mocker of the din of Haidos bal din kimei reidim dam. What if a person admits that he ate chazer and he deserves malchus, he admits that he was Mechal Shabbos and he deserves an Einish Misa? So ain't on the Mason Matsumi. Rosha, you don't punish a person. So then the Rambam asks Akasha, it says in Novi that the Ger Amaleki came to Dovin Amalech and it's a Barim to his bragging that he killed Shaul. So how does David kill him based on his own admission? If I just postulated a klal that you never kill a person based on his own admission of guilt. So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Sanhedrin, the end of the Perek Yud Ches, Perek Yud Tes, when he develops this whole din, that a person has the amonis to say that he did an aver to give himself an oinish, only a moment is hadu'as babli, but it doesn't apply to Anshi Aguf. So the Rambam says, that was a hayru ashoa mitam ha-melech. The melech has a right to make a hayru ashoa. David was a melech. And the Bezdin has a right sometimes. Makmi onshe shloim min adin. So that was a hayru ashoa. David ha-melech thought this guy was a shady character, and then he decided he should bump him off. Even though, strictly speaking, you shouldn't administer the death penalty based on Haidos Atzmai. But David Lezo Hayrosho decided he wanted to give. So the Mefarshim on the Rambam asked, the Mechilta gives a different answer on that question. How come David killed the Ger Amalek? And the Mechilta says, because Mikan Sheim Mekabim Ger Me Amalek. And the reason why he killed him, because he was an Amaleki. The Ger was never Chal. They had lived him an Amaleki. So Amaleki is a mitzvah lahargah. So how come the Rambam doesn't say like that? The Rambam says he killed the Ger Amaleki because the Ger Amaleki admitted that he killed Shaul. And even though ain't on a Meis Matzvei Rasha, he never punished a person based on his own admission of guilt. But this David HaMelech had a right to do it as a Hayrasha. So the Rambam is not saying the same hints as the Mechilta. So that's what the Chidor says, Adarab, because the Rambam doesn't hold like the Mechilta. The Rambam holds that the Babli is Mechulak with the Mechilta. Because the Babli says, Mebnei Bonim Shal Haman, if one assumes that Haman was from Amalek, that's the question. Yerushalmi in Megillah said Haman was not an Amalek, he was also Maisa Amalek, Maisa Gak. If one should assume Haman was from Amalek, and nonetheless his descendants did convert and they were sitting and learning, so you see the Babli is Mechuluk with the Mechilta. So how does the Babli going to understand how David killed the Ger Amalek? So that's the answer, it was Ahi Rasha. So the Ramatak is Deche the Mechilta, that's what the Chidor says.
What is the Rosh name of Kaplan?
Right.
It doesn't mean that
it
can never be a that an
Amalek
can never be a
ger. That's a machlekes. How do you learn pshat in the Mechilta? It means it's not proper to accept ger from Amalek. Well, it's that Desn Shal Shlosha Hedyotis accepted him as a ger, and they didn't realize that it was from Amalek. So maybe B'diyeva, the ger would be chal. Shouldn't you say no? Em kav ger mamol gazed din. That even b'diavad is just not chal. The geris is not chal. So the question is, the Rambam doesn't quote it. Not lachatchila, not b'diavad. He doesn't quote it at all. Adarav, from the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, you never wage a war with anyone unless you offer them first shalom. And he says it about Amalek also. So he says, and then if they want to convert, you mekabel them. And if they don't want to convert, so you can only make peace with them if they at least accept shevet mitzvahs ben inoyim. If not prepared to accept the Shemitz Menel, to be like a Ger Toshav, then you got to wipe them out. But the Rambam writes about Amalek also. You offer them, and if they want to convert, they're good. They don't have to. They can accept Shemitz. So from the Rambam there is also Mashma. That's what the Chidor quotes, and others quote here on this Gemara.
Amalek only has daughters. They killed both his sons.
Uh-huh.
The Yichus of a Goy goes by the Arab.
Yeah.
If his daughter marries someone from a different nation, he can't say it's going on the son because they hung up his son.
Maybe he had more sons. Maybe had right bottom. Maybe had more than 10 sons. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then they talk about Amalekim. That's good. That's right. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe Taka. Could be. Could be. No, the Mechilta sounds like it's a real Din Daraisa. Apostle, I don't remember. Apostle, I'll draw it from Apostle. Then on the last line, on this daf starts the whole discussion of when is Moshiach coming? That's what one of the Amoraim asks, Mishmir Lachim Asasi Bar Nafli. So he said, who's Bar Nafli? He says, Moshiach. What's Bar Lashem Bar Nafli is Moshiach? Because it says in Amos, Bayom Ahu, Okay, Mesukas David Hanefolis. I will rebuild the Malchus Beis David. So since the Malchus Beis David is now in the state of Nefolis, so that's how he refers to the Melech HaMashiach as the Bar Nafli. I saw the Ben Ish Chai in his commentary adds on, Bar Nafli sounds like a Nefel. Doesn't sound like a Sukkos Dovin HaNefolos. I'm supposed to. So he quotes the famous Medrash that according to the original plan, David was going to be a Nefel. He wasn't going to live at all. But Adam Marishan donated 70 years to him. So that's perhaps what, that's what he suggests. That's perhaps why they were alluding to the whole Malchus Beis David is by Nafli. That the whole thing, it was Lamaila Men Ateva. Because Lefi Ateva, he really should have been a Nefel. So the Gemara starts the whole discussion of when Mashiach is going to come. So the Gemara says, the Simonim, and this is going to happen, all the terrible things, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and that's going to happen. And then the Gemara says it's going to be 7 years in a row. The first year is going to be this, and the second year is going to be this. How does the Gemara say? Tana Rabbanan, six lines from the top of Tzadik Zayin. During the 7 years immediately preceding the coming of Mashiach, Shana Rishon is going to be miskaim. The pasuk in Amos doesn't say when it's going to happen. Will be fulfilled the first year. Imtati aliyachas, valiyachas loyamtir. It'll rain on half the earth, so the other half won't rain. Second year, that's going to happen. Third year, this is going to happen. The fourth year, the fifth year. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean? All these things happened already. Mashiach didn't come. So the Gemara says, no, but it didn't happen kesidron. It didn't happen in this order. When it happens in this order, first year, second year, third year, then Mashiach is going to come. After the 7 years, Mashiach is going to come. What's going to be in the seventh year? The Gemara says it's going to be big Mohammed. It's going to be big Mohammed in the world. That's why the Gemara says in Megillah, the whole this 7 year Seder is referred to in Megillah. Masechet Megillah. So the Gemara says there that the Mohammeds are Aschalta de Gula. When those Mohammeds are going to happen after the first 6 years of everything happening, those Mohammeds means that you're winding up, you're winding down, you're holding by the end, you're holding by Nila already, and the Gula is soon going to come. Rashi writes, the Mohammeds that we're talking about, Rashi writes, the 10th line from the top, Benov de Kochavim v'Yisrael, Mohammeds between the Jews and the non-Jews, not Stam, a war. There are a lot of wars in the world. What is it? Why is that Aschalta de Gula? It means the war between the Yidden and the Goyim. Who's going to balabata the Eretz Yisrael? That's Aschalta de Gula. The Minchas Alozer, the Munkacher writes, in the First World War, he held that it was Aschalta de Gula, and he quotes that Sam Sefer held that the war during his lifetime in the early 1800s or some Austro-Prussian war or something, that was Aschalta de Gula. And so Mincha Salosa says the First World War was also Aschalta de Gula. Pashto said that's not what Rashi learned. They assumed that all wars in the world are Aschalta de Gula. The war in the 1800s, the war in the early 1900s. Pashto Pshat is like Rashi learns, not like the Chassam Sefer. Mohammed ben Yisrael, ben Abdi Kamli Yisrael, they're fighting who should balabat to the Eretz Yisrael. That's going to lead up to the Gula. Some wars in Europe between Goyim. Some Jews were involved also. That's not a Muhammad Sevishin Yidin and Goyim. That's not the Aschat of the Gula. That's the Lashon HaGemara. That the Muhammad says Aschat of the Gula because it fits in with this whole program. Then the Gemara says all the terrible things that are going to happen before Mashiach comes. I saw the Ben Ish Chai in his Sefer, Ben Yehoyada. He reinterprets every line in the Gemara. He says the Gemara didn't really mean it. The Gemara says, or they're going to hardly be any Talmid HaChamim. Or it's going to be gefelach, and there won't be any money, and it's going to be bad news and everything. So he reinterprets every line in the Gemara. Everything is L'tayva. Everything is L'tayva. I don't understand. It's all Al-Pi Kabbalah. His whole Sefer is all. Most of it is Al-Pi Kabbalah. I don't know why he reinterpreted everything. Every line on the Omid, he interprets everything. Beis Avad Yil is Nus. He interprets L'tayva. Agol Yechorv is L'tayva. Gavlan Yoshim. Everything is Latoya. Pash Pashat, the Gemara is saying that it's going to be Chevle Moshiach. It's going to be Gefel Chazach before Moshiach comes. The Gemara tells an interesting story. There was a city that was known by the name Kushta. Kushta is the Aramaic for Emes. So in that city, everybody always told the truth. And the Gemara assumes that telling the truth is his Gula Farichas Yomim. So no one ever died in that city. The Marsha adds on, it doesn't mean no one ever died. It means no one ever died below Ito. Everybody lived to a normal ripe old age and then they died. No one died young. That's how the Marsha tones it down. So there was one occasion that someone not from the city married a girl from the city and they lived there. So one of the neighbors was knocking on the door and they said, is your wife home? So he said, my wife is not home. Why do you say his wife is not? She was home because she was washing her hair. And there wasn't Derech Eretz. He didn't want to say she's in the bathroom. She's taking a shower. So he said, my wife is not home. So their two children died because he told a lie. He knows a white lie. He didn't want to say his wife is washing her hair. She's not the... He should have said she's not able to speak to you now. So because he said, my wife is not home, so that's why the two children died. So the Gemara says, they asked the fellow, could he please move out from the city because we don't want the Malach HaMavos to visit anymore. The Gemara tells the story. That's the same Agarata appears in the end of Sota also, such an Agarata. A different city, not Kushta, a different city. Luz. Yeah. That's what some of the Rishonim say on the Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Ksubis. There's a Machlekes of Lezer, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shua. The woman says she was a Psula, and the husband says she was a Pesel Pasuch Matzasi. Nishkem Psula. So Rabbi Shua says, let me pee on a chayim. He says, we don't believe her. So Zog ain't an amenis. Why does he say, let me pee on a chayim? So some of the Rishonim say, if you're going to falozach on her, we will not have an arichas yomim. Because if you always tell the truth, me pee on a chayim. The person always tells the truth. So when he says, lo me pee on a chayim, what he means to say is, we're not so convinced that she's telling the truth. The melitza, lo me pee on a chayim, comes from this agarata, that when people tell the truth, that's a school of arichas yomim. So that's why Rabbi Shua says, let me pee on a chayim. We're not so convinced that we're going to have an arichas yomim based on what she said. The Gemara has a comment in Bava Kamma. The Gemara has a comment in on the two daughters of Loi, that they thought the whole world was destroyed in Parshas Vayera. They thought Avraham Avinu was dead. And they thought that they were the only, their father with the two daughters, were the only three tzaddikim in the whole wide world, that the Ribbono Shel Olam spared them and their merit, and they're going to have to rebuild the world. If you're trying to save the whole world, so you don't have to worry about the Gilead rights. Rashi says on Parshas Kedoshim, Chesed hu, how did Kai marry his sister? Chesed, the Ribbono Shel Olam allows it for the Kim Olam. You're allowed to. So they thought that they were saving the whole world, and said, Avinu Zokin, how'd they say? We better hurry up. So the Gemara says, the Bechorah, the oldest daughter, who was with the father the first night, did a bigger mitzvah than the Tzira the second night. So that's why she was rewarded, because according to their perception, they thought they're rativing the whole world. So that's why the Gemara said, Bishchar, as a reward, added reward, that the Bechorah rushed the first night and the Tzira only did the second night to the rativ of the world. So that's why the descendants of the Bechorah became Gerim, the end of Klal Yisrael, earlier than the descendants of the Tzira. She was given reward to that. Truth of the matter, turned out the whole thing was a mistake. Let's say if you have a Chayla Mesukan, if someone is looks like he's dying. I'm a layman, I don't know if he's going to die. So if you're going to wait to call a doctor to tell you on Mevinas whether he's a Chayla Mesukan or not, the patient may die. So the din is you have to run. If you're a layman, you have to run. What if you ran to the hospital with Chilul Shabbos and made everybody crazy? Then it turns out I just had a bellyache. And nothing wrong. So you don't need any kapara because your perception was that his mamash pikuach nefesh. You have to run to save the person. So that's what the Gemara says, that their mistaken perception was that everybody died. Avraham Avinu is dead. And they're the only three tzaddikim that the Ribbono Shel Olam saved in that generation for Kim Ha'olam. And they have to do this chesed. They have to do this violation of Gilead Arayis in order to save the world. Shaila and the Gemara, yeah, the Gemara has two opinions, but Bita is also, and the Sugya Benayach, yeah. But it's still... But it's still an embarrassment. It certainly is an embarrassment. Rashi quotes on Chumash. Yeah. It's an impropriety, yeah. Rashi quotes on Chumash, the next pasuk says that Avraham Avinu moved. So why did Avraham Avinu move? So Rashi quotes on the Medrash, because it was such an embarrassment. All the neighbors found out what happened, because they both became pregnant, the two daughters. So Avraham Avinu, everybody knew he was the uncle, so they were staring at him. What kind of a nephew do you have? What kind of nieces do you have? So he moved away, that he shouldn't suffer the bizyanis. So it certainly was something improper. So it's really interesting, we live in a generation, a lot of people are being oisik in kirov activities. So sometimes we have a din chatei b'shul sheyiska chavecha on rare occasions. It says in Shulchan Aruch that sometimes you're permitted and obligated, it's a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbos in order to save somebody from shmad. In rare cases. So unfortunately we have a lot of people who are so involved in kiruv, so they think they're saving the whole world. So men will slap the girls on the shoulder and they'll be mekarev of them for the sake of kiruv. You have to be friendly. And if you're having the Shabbaton, so they'll sometimes be mezalzel. It's already after Shkia, it's already after Tzeis HaKocham, and they didn't arrive yet. So they'll continue driving to the Shabbaton. Otherwise, what's going to be with the Shabbaton? They feel that they're saving the whole world. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that he used to warn the Rabbanim when they got smicha, you shouldn't develop a Messiah complex. You shouldn't think that you're saving the whole world. Because look over here, these two daughters of Loit, they thought they were saving the whole world. Then the Pasuk says, in the middle of this whole cheshbon that they made, the Pasuk says, and the Rabbanu Shalom remembered Avraham Avinu, and in the schus of Avraham Avinu, he saved Lot and his two daughters. They didn't even deserve in their own merit. They didn't deserve to have any hatzot. Their whole perception was so cockeyed, they thought Avraham Avinu gestorben, and these are the only three tzaddikim that they're going to rat over the whole world. The Pasuk said they didn't even deserve to be alive. It's only in the schus of Avraham Avinu. So we have to try whatever we can. Kiruv is a big mitzvah, and there is on the books, there is a rule, chatei b'shvil sheyiska chavercha, in rare occasions, but it doesn't really apply that often. In the beginning of the Chassidish movement, so many of the Chassidish used to make such hachonas before they would daven. Some still do today also on Shabbos morning. They say tilim and the ma'avir sedri with their children, and they fahed their children in gemara and everything. And the more hachonas you have for the davening, so the more gishmak the davening will be. And then you get to daven after this man tefillah, after this man krishma, you missed all this man. Or leila say that people will start making so many hachonas and hachonas, so they won't get to eat the matzah till after chatzos. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner was in that tkufa, so he complains that this is terrible. True, there is a concept of chatei b'shul shetiske. Sometimes we encourage a person to do a slight aver in order that he should gain a ruchnius, not you should steal money and found a yeshiva. Sometimes we tell a person you should do a slight aver in order to gain a ruchnius in rare occasions. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, that's only koidem matan Torah. Lacha matan Torah we don't have. Yankov Avinu married two sisters, that was koidem matan Torah. All the chatei b'shul shetiske, it's only koidem matan Torah. So his Talmud in the Kesar Rosh, Rav Moshe Tiktina writes that what the Rebbe wrote in the Nefesh HaChaim, that's a little bit an exaggeration. The Gemara has cases lahalacha where we say, if the Matan Torah chatei b'shul shetiske, or chatei b'shul sheyiske chavercha, he meant to say, it's very rare. Koidem matan Torah, it was easier to apply. Lacha matan Torah is very rare. You can't just say, everybody's rattling the whole world. A lot of times we have such an exaggerated perception of our own accomplishments that we think that we're saving, we're doing something. So sure, I got it. And the Mefarshim say that a lot of sagat is not to be taken literally. So what is it supposed to be telling us? So they say a little bit, but they don't explain fully. I don't know. The Marshal every so often says, not to be taken literally, it means something else. So what does that mean?
I looked for it, I couldn't find it. He was wondering why David HaMelech came from Mayo. He said that